Welcome to Everything Belongs, a podcast for those living, creating, leading, and thriving while in the deep end of life. I'm your host, Madison Morgan, leadership coach, creative consultant, and speaker. I coach soulful visionaries and go-getting mavericks who desire to create art of their lives and take their work both deeper and higher. In this show, I'll be bringing you an overflow of conversations with my favorite thought leaders, teachers, healers, and creatives who inspire me to live more fully in my own power, worth, and wholeness, along with offering some episodes where I share my own practical insights, behind-the-scenes peeks into my process, and tools I use on my own journey. There will not be much we shy away from here because at this table, everything belongs. Therefore, you can expect me to ask the uncomfortable, juicy questions. You can expect that you'll hear people you disagree with on the podcast and maybe even ideas you've never previously considered. I trust you with your own discernment as we take this deep dive. You can expect to laugh, cry, learn, and be challenged by the guests as they share their diverse experiences and views of the world. It's my hope through learning to see that all of it belongs that you will develop a more sovereign way of holding yourself so you can playfully go after the life, relationships, and career you are made for, to let all parts of yourself have a seat at the table, to lead and create from your deepest truth and become your own source of validation, all because you finally know you're worthy of it. All that's required to get started, that you show up curious and willing. Let's dive in. Well, hello and welcome to today's episode of Everything Belongs. Before I dive into the guest, who is absolutely amazing, and introduce her to you, I first want to invite you to my upcoming training, Awaken to Freedom. It is a free 90-minute workshop, and it's going to be held on September 22nd, that's a Wednesday, at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. And I'm super thrilled for this conversation because I've been having so many conversations with clients and with people in my Instagram DMs and with colleagues about how so many of us have taken our old programming, whether that is cultural, systemic, familial, religious, that tells us that we're broken, that something is wrong with us, that we're unworthy. You get the picture. And we've just transferred that same programming onto our personal development. We've transferred it onto our healing. We've transferred it into our businesses. We've transferred it into relationships. And so we're trying to get free while operating at the same level of the programming. We're like trying to solve the problem by only looking at the problem. I call that old programming. And so in this training, I'm going to specifically be addressing how to live our liberation and find inner refuge by unhooking from three common mistakes people make when doing their inner work that are actually rooted in old programming that perpetuate what's harming us. And I'm going to be sharing that through the five pillars of freedom. And these five pillars of freedom are essentially the pillars of all of the work I teach inside of my program, Awaken Her Soul, that support people to live their liberation now and remember their power in every moment. I believe that old programming separates us from our power and our worth and our wholeness. And remembering who we are through living these five pillars of freedom will help us rehook into what's true. And so there's so much more I'll be sharing in the training as well, but that's the core of what you're going to get. This is specifically for women who feel like life is getting too small for them. This programming, this patriarchal programming, this good girl programming makes us be small. It makes us be cookie cutter. And it kind of feels dull and boring and empty and honestly just too small for who we're here to be. So if you are someone who feels like their story, the story that you're currently living isn't a reflection of the fullness of your soul, isn't a reflection of the fullness of what you're made here for, then please lean in. I really believe that when we start sensing life is a little too small for us, we're on the precipice of something way more aligned if we lean in. I believe there's no opportunity so ripe for our inner liberation than when we realize that we've outgrown those stories, we've outgrown those old paradigms, those old patterns that we've been operating from, and there's actually something more full and true to lean into. So in this training, I'm going to be teaching you to untether from old programming, strip back outdated paradigms, let go of old identities, and write a story where you're actually the author of the story, and then practice living it. So you get to authorize yourself. So please join me this next week in this free workshop and begin practicing your wholeness, writing your own story, and ultimately creating new neural pathways that authorize yourself and liberate you from the inside out. This is all about handing you the tools to empower yourself, to reconnect to your own power. So all of that to say, I'm pretty freaking jazzed about it. So if you're interested, it's 100% free. Like I said, it's 90 minutes. It's on Zoom. And it's going to be just, I love leading this training. So go to awakenhersoul.com. It's awakenhersoul.com/freedom-training. And register your interest, sign up, RSVP. I would love to have you there. It again is September 22nd at 12 p.m. Eastern on Zoom. And there is a replay available for those who register. So please register your interest if you want to watch the replay or want to come live. Of course, I'm biased. I want you there live because it's way more fun for me to get to actually like meet you and interact with you. So without further ado, let's dive into today's podcast, and I will be seeing you hopefully at the live training. Well, all right, y'all. Today I'm in conversation with someone that is so passionate. I just enjoyed recording this podcast so much. Her name is Taylor Elise Morrison, and Taylor is the founder of the wellness lifestyle brand Inner Workout. Taylor started her career in a Fortune 100 company before joining a health and wellness startup as their first-time employee and vice president of operations. And today, she's on a mission to help others beat burnout, which is incredibly important right now in this post-current COVID world that we're living in, and doing that through sustainable self-care practices. Taylor is an international speaker, a trained facilitator, who's been featured in Forbes, Entrepreneur, Bon Appetit. I mean, her expertise in self-care and the way that she goes about it, her orientation to it, really is unlike most people in the industry. In this episode, we speak on how she created her self-care business, Inner Workout, and the nuance between being your own best guide versus seeking out feedback and guidance, which is something as previously in my life, having given my power away to mentors and teachers who I thought knew best for me, this was really, really important. So if you're someone who does that, be sure to perk up your ears for that part of the conversation. We talk about being in integrity. If you're a business owner, having a values-based business, finding your own definition of success, and so much more. I enjoyed this episode with Taylor so much because the way that she leads her business is so epic. I'm just like, you're going to hear me nerding out on all things business, but more so even than the way she runs her business is the integrity, like the way that she leads with integrity in her business to support people in self-care. It's so obvious that she lives it and lives it for herself first. So I could talk about Taylor forever, but let's just let you meet her yourself. Let's dive in. Taylor, I'm just so excited to chat with you and have been watching your journey from pre-COVID, what you were doing then, to watching your journey with your business Inner Workout just seemingly explode. Like it just seems so vibrant and so vital. And I have a number of questions about Inner Workout and about how that journey has been, but I'm curious how you, if you met someone on the street and they didn't know anything about therapy or self-care or, you know, any of the jargon that we have in the industry, what would you say it is that you do?
Yeah, I would say that I help people connect to themselves and I help them build the skill of self-care, which as I'm saying that, I'm like, oh, I have a cool job that I made for myself.
Yeah, seriously. So what you, it's called Inner Workout. It's about self-care. And someone upon hearing that might be like, okay, is it a workout? Am I going to be like moving my body? Is it mindset? Can you give us a download of what it is that Inner Workout, your business is and what is inside of it?
Yeah. So I love a play on words, and really as I was, I'll start from the beginning. This idea came to me on a yoga mat. It felt like someone like audibly said, what if you could like build a class to help people build the skill of self-care? And so I was reflecting on it and I loved this idea of like an inner workout as a play on doing the inner work. And when we first started, the vision was to build almost like a Zumba for mental wellness, where I developed this practice that blends movement and breath work and journaling and meditation. And the whole experience is designed to help you listen within and respond in the most loving way possible, which is how I define self-care. And it's how Inner Workout defines self-care. And so it's this chance to like be led back to yourself and notice what your body is telling you and notice what thoughts that you maybe haven't given space to. And so at the beginning, yeah, you would be moving your body when you were doing an inner workout. And since then, as you've kind of alluded to, Inner Workout has expanded into being really a self-care support system. So we still have our namesake practice, and we have workshops that I get to lead, or sometimes we'll bring partners to lead. But we've also started building products to help you really practice self-care in the moment in really solutions-oriented ways. I had some resistance to selling products because, I mean, we could go into a whole thing about that, but I was concerned that I would just be giving people Band-Aid or quick fixes. And so I've tried to design things that if you use them, they can be integrated into something that will actually help you listen within and respond with love, instead of something that just like feels good in the moment, but you're ignoring what's actually going on underneath the surface.
That's so good. I don't know if it was Instagram. I heard you talk about somewhere, it could have been your podcast or Instagram, about like shadow self-care, or about like, you know, the skim the surface self-care. And I'm curious, like, what your take is on that, because you're kind of speaking to it a little bit, and like, you know, the essential oil isn't going to do self-care for you, and just how the industry, and I see this as a coach, just sells people things that is like really pushing consumerism in saying it's about self-care, saying it's about mental health. I'm curious, because it seems that you had that resistance, how you are, one, addressing that in the work that you're doing, but then using the tools and like integrating them into support, because it seems like you really thought this through.
Yeah, it's a dance. And I feel like the best things in life are a dance. And this is something that I admire about your work, is it's not about absolutes. It's about like really getting to sit in that in between and exploring and asking the hard questions. And when I think of having a self-care support system, I think of three things. You have your practices, the things that you do. Sometimes you're doing them proactively. Sometimes you're doing them reactively. Something like a pandemic or something like a fight with your partner comes up and you need to bring yourself back. Then there are the partners that you can work with, like working with a coach, working with a therapist, a body worker, who are not, I'm always wanting to be careful as I speak about this, because it's not like they're more of an expert on you than you are. And also they get to work with a lot of people, and they might give you more data that can help you on your journey to become your own best expert. So you've got the practices, the partners, and then the products are like that last piece. And yes, we sell products now, but I only really want people to buy them if they feel like they are going to deepen an experience or create some ease, so there's less friction in a self-care practice. Or sometimes like there is something to be said of just having a really pleasurable experience. But I don't think that we put a lot of thought. Actually, I can speak from the eye. I don't think that I always put a lot of thought when I'm making purchases. I get really caught up in an Instagram ad or seeing someone who I would like to be more like using something. And so I just buy it without thinking about, how does this fit into my life? And is there something deeper under the surface that if I just dealt with that, I might not even need to buy this thing? And so, yeah, I really want people to be in conversation with themselves about those things. And we even created like a free mini course for folks so that they can start to map out their self-care support system, see where there are gaps, and then intentionally start to fill those in instead of just buying out all of the essential oils or all of the courses. And yeah.
Well, you can totally see it on social media and like the waves of what drinks people are drinking. Like, you know, there's like the cacao wave, and then there's the celery juice wave, and then it's like the tea wave. And I'm just seeing, and not that any of that's wrong. I enjoy all of those things, but whenever the, whatever is popular culture becomes centered and not what is true to you and what's actually supportive for you or your body or your practice. I really like beautiful things. And I do find that having a couple really like a beautiful candle before a podcast episode, that feels like it sets the mood. And it feels really like, for me, that feels really nice. Like an anchor point. It's not that I need it, but it certainly is inspiring. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm like, if I get a new workout outfit, I'm probably going to work out more that week. And I know that's not sustainable, but it certainly is helpful whenever you feel good in your environment or you have some tools that are physical and not just in your mind. It really helps translate. So I'm curious, I want to hear so much about the business, but we kind of just went on this train of the self-care and the actual practices. I'm curious your thoughts on something, and this is just off the top of my mind, because some of my teachers talk about how you have to have a teacher or a mentor or a guide on the journey. And this is specific. This isn't healing. This is like the enlightenment journey. And so I want to clarify that like there's healing and then there's spiritual growth, which is like you are in a place of like, you're well, and then there's more. And sometimes I think in the worlds that we're in, they're equated as the same thing. And we get ourselves into like a lot of bypassing trouble. But he was talking about how humans love to self-deceive, and we don't always see ourselves clearly. And we actually need other people to see ourselves clearly. And it so triggered like all of my, like having been gaslit and like, I'm the expert on me. And I'm able to hold it both now, but I know so much of inner workout is about being the expert on yourself. And then you mentioned having people come in and support, how you hold that tension of you are the expert on you, and also you might be missing something.
Yeah, I think it's exactly that. So my academic background is in human and organizational development. And there's this tool that I learned about that I come back to all the time that's called the Johari window. And it's basically just, it's by these two people. It's like one's last name had Joe in it and one last name had Hari in it, and they just smashed them together. So the Johari window, and it's like a four square. And so there's like a black box of what you don't know about yourself and what others don't know about you. And that's just kind of like out there, which sometimes if I think about that box too much, I'm like, makes me nervous. And then there's what others know about you, but you don't know about yourself. And then there's what you know about you and others don't know about you. And then there's like what you know about yourself and what others know about you. And so that box, there are things that people know about you that you don't realize, that you're too close to it, or you're just oblivious about it. And so there definitely is validity in being in community with people and being in relationship with people. And I think your expertise comes into it in knowing and being mindful of when you need to seek out those types of relationships, what type of support you need to seek out. And you still get to decide. Someone can say, I really think that you need to work on being more kind in your communication. And then you can sit with that and you can reread the email that you read or replay the interaction. Maybe you run it past a third party. And then you can be like, you know what? Actually, I think I was just setting a boundary, or I just said no and they didn't appreciate it. So you can always do that gut check. But it is so useful to have people who see different parts of you. And I also want to acknowledge that we're kind of talking about it right now and framing it from more of the negative. Like, there's something you need to work on that someone can show. But I've also had it where there are things. So I was talking to my mom, and I had facilitated a session for this federal agency all day. And at the end, everyone was saying, "Thank you so much, Taylor. You were so personable." Like, multiple people were saying that I was personable. And I talked to my mom. I'm like, "Mom, am I personable?" Like, this is going into a bunch of childhood things. I grew up in a school there. You may not be able to know because you're listening to me. I was one of few Black people in general, but also Black women. And I just like, didn't think that I fit in. I didn't think that people liked me. And so to hear all of these people who have known me just for a few hours in a day to say I was personable, it was like, wait, what? And then my mom was like, yeah, you're very personable, Taylor. And then my partner was like, yeah, you're very personable, Taylor. So sometimes people are seeing things that you don't see in yourself, and it's amazing things, and it's superpowers that you just totally didn't realize. And then I could check back again. There's that checking back in and being like, okay, what does it mean to be personable? Oh yeah, I guess I do that. I guess I wasn't acknowledging that in myself. I wonder why that is. And then it can lead you back into further reflection and growth.
Oh my goodness. This like almost an identical experience happened to me recently, where I was telling all of my friends how I wasn't nurturing at all. And I just like, I don't really want anyone to need me. And I'm just so independent. And like, I was going on and on about how I'm just very like cold. And they were all like, you are really confused. Like one, your entire job is about supporting people. And my roommate and my girlfriend were like, and you leave vitamins out for us like every day, like on the counter, and you know, all these like little things. And I was thinking, well, that's not nurturing. That's just like helping. And they were like, yeah, like just even the definition. And I'm personally, whenever I think about, what did you say? The Johari window. I'd not heard of that. So thank you for bringing that up. That feels so accurate. And that window, I have so many clients and a pattern in myself where we will look at needing to uncover the things that people can see that we can't see. And it becomes this habitual thing instead of seeing, look at all this beauty that's here, and having trusted people. So I'm curious, in your business journey, who are the kinds of people that you have called in and that you have, that you actually want to receive that feedback from as your business has grown, and the people that you've realized you've had to set a boundary with? Because I'm making the assumption, I suppose, that as you grow your business, you have to be more and more mindful of whose feedback is important.
I love that question. So I've worked with a coach who's been really helpful. I have a mentor who I've worked with through a program that I did when Inner Workout was just a baby of an idea, and we still talk very regularly. And she will remind me like, okay, well, Taylor, you told me that when you started this business, like this is how you wanted it to feel for you as a CEO. And I've had all kinds of decisions pop up where like, I had an opportunity to potentially get a pretty affordable in-person space. And I was working through that idea, and she was just reflecting back to me, okay, this is what you told me you wanted. It's fine if it changed, but just to remind you, this is what you said that you wanted. So someone who's seen that linear growth has been helpful. I'm in a couple of more like mastermindy groups. I really appreciate personally being in groups with people who have similar values around how they want their business to feel, and also are in different industries than me, because I find that they like will think about something and they'll say something so off the cuff, like, what if you did this? And I just hadn't thought that that was a possibility, because that's really popular in their industry, but that's not necessarily popular in wellness or facilitation or e-commerce. So those have been really life-giving for me. And then also just having friends who have nothing to do with my business. And I can just be like, I had a really hard day. Like I got this feedback, or I've been like trying to fix something that broke. I just need like a virtual hug. And I have two really good friends that we call each other like our adulthood ride or dies. And like, they just come in like Anne and Leslie and just like give the best encouragement when I need it, and don't care about me they do care about me as a business owner and they're proud of me, but that's not like how they see me. We actually met at our first full-time job and have grown and flourished since then. And then in terms of like boundaries around who I don't listen to advice from, I really started this business partly because of how I wanted to feel as a business owner, and partly because of the impact that I wanted to create in the world. So if we're not aligned on one or both of those things, then I'm just less inclined to listen to you. Like I've gone back and forth multiple times about potentially getting outside investment, which is still maybe an option for the future. But for now, I like just, maybe it's me being a control freak, but I like being able to make decisions. I think it's really more me wanting to have the freedom and the autonomy to make values aligned decisions in my business. And so if I'm talking to someone who's like, well, this is just how you 10X this business in like 5 years, that's not necessarily what I want. Or if it is what I want, I don't necessarily want to do it in this way. That feels like it's exploiting people or causing me to exploit my body and the resources of like that it would take to grow things in that way. Or it's maybe having me compromise on values that I'm not comfortable compromising with. So those people, I'm kind of like, thanks so much. And then I don't have to do anything that they say.
I mean, what I'm hearing is just the utmost clarity around the values that your business is based on and that your life is based on. Like at the core of everything I'm hearing you say is like, I know what I'm doing. I know why I'm doing it. I know what my body's capacity is, and really moving through the people who might have a good idea, but aren't values aligned, aren't going to necessarily either bring you where you want to go or do it in the way that you would want to do it to honor what it is that's most essential in your business.
I think that's exactly it. Like, and I'm finding this more and more, like the clearer that I can get on what I want on anything, like on a specific product that we're going to launch, or like years down the road, like a new division of the company that I'd like to have. If I can really say like, this is what success looks and feels like, it's so much easier for me to make decisions. And I'm really into Notion, and I have like this personal Notion dashboard that I put my tasks in for the week and things.
I don't know what this is. What is that?
Oh, Notion's kind of like, it's kind of like an Evernote meets an Asana or something like that, cool. But it's very highly customizable. And so, and the starter one is free. So there's a lot that you could do with it for free. So I have this dashboard in Notion, which we use for a lot of things for running the business. And it's got all my tasks and stuff. But at the top, I have the statement, like a statement for what I'm trying to embody. So right now, what I'm trying to embody is being the integrous leading voice of self-care, which that integrous piece is really important to me, where I want to be like living out the things that I'm sharing. Like that's being an integrity for me. Then I have my intention for the month. I've got these four metrics of success because I'm an Enneagram 3. And if I don't really know what success is, then I'm like, well, Rihanna's a billionaire, so I'm a failure. And it's like, it doesn't have to be that much of a binary. So I've got those four things. And when I'm feeling down, I can go back and see that, oh, I'm actually really successful by how I'm defining success. And then I have my four core values. And then I'm also working through a lot of stuff around like my relationship to money. So I have some affirmations and some reminders about money. And then I've got like some things for my 2020. Oh, I almost said 2020. It kind of feels like 2020 still. My 2021 intentions. And I met with an astrologer for the first time looking forward through this solar return. And so she gave me some reminders like, it's going to be really important for you this year to create space in your schedule. Or you really need to be prioritizing pleasure this year. So I have those, and I have to scroll through all of those to get to my to-do list. So it's very like a good reminder and grounding for me.
I love this so much. And anyone who has taken like either my visioning class or is in Serve It Up right now, the business program I run, knows that like, that's exactly how I have my Asana set up. Like literally the exact same, my core values, my definition of success. I'm like cracking up at like the CEO similarities that we have going on right now, because I've played back and forth. I'm either a 2 or a 3 on the Enneagram, and I can actually, either way, there's a wing there, right? I'm in relationship with both. And I need to remember also, what is my definition of success? And anyone who's in the heart of the Enneagram can like easily bend to the wishes and whoever other people need them to be. But in work specifically, remembering like, what's the most important thing? What does success feel like? Because there's always more money that can be made. There's always like more people that can be reached. But like, how do you know when enough is enough for the day, for the month, for the revenue, for the year? It just feels, like we talked about, so values aligned. I'm curious, in your life and in your personal life, how does that translate for you from your business into the values that you live in your home and with your partnerships and your friendships?
Yeah. Well, my actual top definition of success is that Matt, my husband, and my close circle feel supported and cared for. So that's like, I never want the work that I'm doing to eclipse how I'm relating to the people that I care most about. And I think because with Inner Workout, I'm getting to support people in their self-care, it can be easy to get more invested into what I'm building over here and forget to pour into the relationships of the people who are going to be with me for the long term. And so there's a lot of overlap. Like as I'm looking through my definitions of success, they're true whether I close the doors of Inner Workout tomorrow or if I scale it into like a global company. I think a lot of the work that I have to do is around giving myself space because, like you said, there's always more to be done. There's always something new that I could launch. There's always something new that I could test. There's always some new way that I could try to reach people. And so I'm working on, I actually have time on my schedule later today to think like, what does enough look like right now? What does enough look like for this particular part of the business? Because otherwise the word that's coming to mind, and I don't know if it's the word that I want to use, but is like greedy. I think maybe gluttonous, like I'm taking in something, but it's not enjoyable anymore. And I don't want to get to that point.
Totally. I absolutely relate that in the program I'm running, Serve It Up, I originally had 20 spots and that almost would have doubled the revenue. And I was waking up every night with this anxiety of like 20 just felt so big for what it is that this specific group would be doing because I'm doing it for the first time. And I lowered it down to 12 and had to even, you know, turn people away. And, you know, I could have done it with 20, you know, it could have happened, but it would have come at a big cost to my integrity, my values, the way I wanted to feel in it. And it was like, you know, that amount of money isn't worth it if I can't do what I'm doing with the integrity that would feel like I'm really offering the value that people are paying for. So I also tend to have really high standards for the work that I produce, which I think that you do as well. Like looking at your Instagram and your website, like everything is done from the intention that you can tell is behind it, like the values behind it to the branding and the design and the colors. Like I just get off on seeing a brand that well thought out. It is so beautiful. I actually want to know, in this journey, what has been the most necessary piece of self-care for you? Because there's been so much growth.
This is such a good question. The most necessary piece of self-care. I've been finding a lot of value in two things. One is in journaling. And I think I was talking with a friend who I hadn't seen in a long time. And she was like, oh, I've just been told I need to start journaling more. I need to be like you and like journaling every day. And I actually don't journal every day. Like it flows a lot with my menstrual cycle. Sometimes I really like want to write a lot, but I never force it. I just do it when I feel like I need it, which is part of being in conversation with myself. But the step beyond that has been reading the things that I wrote in my journal 6 months ago, a year ago, and returning to that. It's been so grounding. It's been so encouraging and enlightening. Like some of it is, okay, Taylor, we need to work on this because you've been talking about this for 4 months and nothing has changed. But some of it is like, remember when this was like just an idea or like you couldn't have even imagined partnering with a company in this way or having a month where e-commerce looked like this. So that's been really helpful. And kind of along similar lines, I have this document because I'm finding that even as I'm hitting milestones, I still tell myself that I'm inadequate in some way. And so I've been really, really trying to force myself to pause and to celebrate them. And I just have a notes document that is connected on both my phone and my computer. And it's just a list of wins. And in a similar way, like, it's so interesting to look back and to see, like, one of my wins was Inner Workout getting 500 followers on Instagram. And now it's like, I don't know what it is right now. I think it's over 6,000, and like all of these things. And to be like, I was able to celebrate then. Why am I not pausing to celebrate now? And just scrolling through that sometimes is super encouraging. Everything that I think, like, now other ones are coming to mind, and it's all things that make me pause and celebrate, like, the beauty and the amazingness of this moment. And to give an example that isn't necessarily work related, my partner and I spent most of the pandemic at my in-laws' house. And now I am just in awe of our home now that we get to spend time here. And I tell him probably at least once a day, we live here. This is our home. And when we're walking around our neighborhood and we live really close to Lake Michigan, I'm like, we can just walk to Lake Michigan. Isn't that wild? And just this, like, being present in this moment. And maybe one day we'll have, like, a bigger place. And maybe one day we'll have something that, like, I can't even dream. But right now, like, this is a dream realized, and I need to pause and enjoy that. And all of my practices are just like pause and appreciate right now.
I love that so much, because like you said, whenever you start making, if it's more money or more followers or more clients, booking three clients or getting whatever that would have been a huge deal at the start, becomes such a normalized thing that there is not as much gratitude for it. I'm curious, what you mentioned, the 500 followers. Has there been another, like, milestone that might be seemingly insignificant to someone else, but was a really big moment of realizing, like, oh, I can do this?
That's a really good question. I'm actually just going to pull up my win document and see.
Yes, please.
Give me a second. There was something when I was, like, just a finalist in something that I applied for a grant for Inner Workout. That was huge. Some of it I can't share right now. Ask me it later this year, and maybe I can share that. A big moment for me was actually 8/23/2020, which is about a year from when we're recording this, an Inner Workout surpassed me in followers, like my personal brand in followers. And I put literally creating something bigger than me. Like, that felt really huge. But then, like, a couple below that, it's like, I automated something in the business that I'd been working towards automating. It was kind of a technical process. I'd been working towards automating that for months. So there's something like, oh, more followers than me, but also like, yay, we automated this thing. I don't have to do it myself anymore.
A quick pause in this conversation with Taylor to remind you once more about the Awakened Freedom Workshop. You can RSVP your interest now by going to awakenhersoul.com/freedom-training. Essentially, in this training, I'm going to be teaching you how to live your liberation now, not waiting until you're perfectly whole or you've dug up all the trauma, but to actually live outside of the programming and falsities that keep you from the truth of who you are. You have the power to choose. You are worthy of all good things. You are innately whole. And usually what's keeping us in the way are the stories that are keeping us from living that expression now. So if you want to reclaim the connection, belonging, joy, and hope that you always knew was possible, but felt like you had to hold off on getting for some arbitrary time in the future, please join us, because we are going to be practicing our freedom in this training. Again, you can go to awakenhersoul.com/freedom-training to RSVP your interest. And I will see you on Wednesday, September 22nd at the live training. I relate to the automation piece, because I don't know if people who don't have a business and aren't also technical themselves don't know the challenge of setting up something that behind the scenes just makes you go to the right website page. And sometimes that it's like, it seems so simple, but the amount of work that is done, excuse my dog who's joining us, the amount of work that is done is so much, especially if you're not someone who normally thinks that way, that to have your back end go exactly the way that you wanted it to go is such a celebration.
It really is. I'm like thinking as I'm looking at it, I'm like, I did that manually for so long.
Yes.
And yeah, that is a huge win. I'm celebrating again in the moment because I can feel physically in my body, like the relief once I pressed that button and it was all of a sudden, I mean, not all of a sudden, but it was officially automated.
You are giving me so much, like I'm feeling so excited in my body, Taylor, because one, I think we share a lot of the same values in the way that we run our businesses, even though we're doing different things in our work and, you know, come from a different place in the way that we're doing it. And I'm curious, I know that you've had to really shift because you started this business like 6 months before COVID. And this wasn't the first business you had, as far as I know. And so you've pivoted and grown a successful business during a time where people are saying that it's harder than ever to do this. And I'm not negating that for some people, it is very challenging. And for some industries, it's challenging. But I also find that you doing this and staying consistent to be so inspiring and such an inspiration for people who are wanting to start something right now or realizing there's a lot of people realizing their corporate jobs that they can't go back. They're like, I literally cannot with that job anymore. And so this feels like such a really beautiful opportunity to talk about what it was like to start an online business or to move your business online and pivot during an unprecedented experience in the world.
And I love that you mentioned that, like, no, it's not my first business. I've always been pretty entrepreneurial. And really the first pivot happened in starting Inner Workout. So starting like my senior year of college, I had a branding company and I did like all different facets of branding and brand strategy for clients on the side of my corporate job. And well, of my full-time jobs, I worked in corporate, I worked in startup, I worked in a lot of spaces. And I knew that I didn't want to work in a full-time job anymore, but I also wanted to kind of stair-step my way into it. So I quit my full-time job, stepped into this part-time job, thought I was going to be growing that branding company. I actually had another self-care company before this that did not feel aligned at all. Like there was no intention behind it. And I had this moment where I was really sick. I had like speaking engagements. My part-time job was hourly. And so everything I was doing was billable hours, essentially. And I felt like I'm supposed to be in charge of my days now, but I'm having to like sit in bed sick, do this work so I know that I can pay myself and like make sure that we can pay the bills. And it just felt awful. So when I had the idea for Inner Workout, which was about a month later, I knew that I wanted to build something. That's why that bigger than me piece was huge. Like I wanted something that could continue to run if I was sick or if I had a kid or it didn't just require me. And so everything in how I built the company was designed to have it be able to, I could be a part of the business and I'm integrated and my face shows up, which was its own journey. I used to not show my face on Inner Workout stuff in a misguided attempt to make it bigger than myself. And now it's like, no, I want to relate with my people. But I also, if I need to take a break, I want the show to be able to continue to go on. And that mentor that I mentioned earlier, she really heard me when I said that. So as I was making decisions, she'd ask me, well, what is this going to require of you? Is this going to tie you to the business in a way that you can't take time off? And if it was, then a lot of times I'd be like, okay, this is not the right step, maybe years down the road, but like right now with the resources that I have, it doesn't make sense. So if you hear my dog running around the kitchen, I don't know why he got out again.
Dogs are welcome here. Dogs are welcome here.
He's just got some zoomies. I was telling Madison earlier that there was some thunderstorms yesterday. He's got a lot of energy to get out and he's just doing it by running laps in our kitchen. So the idea for Inner Workout was that I would train other people in this practice that I had developed, and then they would teach it. And my role would really just be to empower other people to teach this practice and to continue to develop themselves and build community. And yeah, summer of 2020, I thought that I would be doing a circuit of like trying to pop up at different events. I was hoping to do our in-person. I ended up doing actually 3 rounds of facilitator training between 2020 and 2021 virtually. But I also realized that I didn't want to be teaching on Zoom all the time, especially when everything in my life was suddenly on Zoom. And when the pandemic hit, I was like, okay, well, anyone who's teaching a practice is doing online classes. And I remember I like made something for Instagram. I put something on the website, and the whole time I just had this feeling like, I don't even want people to buy this. Like, I don't want them to show up because I don't want to lead it in this way. So that's when we developed our Take Care assessment. I didn't really mention this at the beginning, but the inspiration from Inner Workout is this yogic concept of the koshas. We have taken those as inspiration, and we talk about them with our own twist as the 5 dimensions of well-being. And you move through that in an inner workout practice, but all of our products are categorized by the dimensions. When we're talking about things for workshops, we categorize them by the 5 dimensions. And so I thought, if we have these dimensions and we think that these are so fundamental to the way that people practice self-care, how else could we do it outside of this practice? And so I had a note somewhere like, ooh, it'd be so cool to build an assessment. So I built an assessment where you could measure yourself on the 5 dimensions of well-being. And then you'd get these personalized practices based on your results. We tested around doing different workshops. I launched a course related to the Take Care assessment. And it was really about like listening to the community, because that's a whole other thing. Like all of a sudden, for multiple reasons, first, it was just everyone wanted to talk about self-care. So I was able to partner like with an Instagram Live for Brooklinen or like these other really huge companies that would not have paid me the time of day before. But because I could talk about self-care, they were like, oh, let's talk. And then as the summer went on and there were the uprisings, and wellness is traditionally not a super diverse space. So then there is our community was growing there, and it just kind of like kept snowballing. And all of a sudden I had all of these new people who wanted to talk about self-care, but maybe weren't served by the offerings that we had. And so I really had to go into this mode of like listening and understanding and being curious about how we could serve them that felt values aligned, but was meeting people where they were at. Because that's, if people can't practice self-care, if they don't feel like they have the tools to listen within and respond with love, I'm not trying to force them into something. I want them to find what works for them. And sometimes that means like meeting in the middle or building something I didn't expect to build.
My goodness. I mean, as you're talking about this, 2020 was such a challenging year for people within business in general. And then you add in the element of being a new business, being a business who's pivoting, being a business who did in-person movement, being a person who wants to serve people who are finding you and seeing like, oh, a Black woman is leading this. I feel safe here. And also, do you actually have the resources that can meet those unique needs that came up last year during the uprisings? I mean, those are so many pivotal things that require so much energy to make sure you're doing well. And like, just from a business mind, and then also from a consumer standpoint, I'm like, oh my goodness, you really met the needs that were presenting at the time. Like, you really took the time to hear your customer. You really took the time to say, how do we as a company stand in our integrity or align to our values, would be a better way of saying that. And also meet the need of what is coming in. Because I'm, like you mentioned, I saw everyone posting online classes and everyone was giving away things for free. And like, there was so much noise of everyone trying to help. But I think a lot of business owners like shot themselves in the foot in a way, becoming all things to all people and not saying, what is my role here? And it sounds like you really went deeper into like, what is your role given the circumstance? Does that feel like a true reflection?
It feels true. And also, I think it was a process. Like, on any interview, it sounds like, okay, and then just snap your fingers and you're there. But there are definitely missteps or things that we tried. Like, even for a while, we were just doing one inner workout Zoom class a month. And even that, it was like, I don't go to a ton of Zoom things unless I'm like really excited about it because I'm meeting people on Zoom all day for other things. And so we had to be like, you know what? I think it's time to let that go. There was a lot of, they talk about in writing, like killing your darlings. There was definitely some of like, okay, I was really attached to this at the beginning. I guess it's not aligned right now. Time to kill that darling. Time to let that go. And it goes back to that like clarity piece that I was talking about. Like when you can get so clear on what you want and then a really clear understanding of what other people want, that's when you can build the offerings that just feel like, I don't want to say effortless, but kind of like you're still working, but it's just like, oh, it's just flowing. Wow.
Yeah. I serve so many creatives and I'm curious, I would consider you a creative. I don't know if you consider yourself a creative, but you seem like someone who has a creative mind, but also a business mind. And I hear from so many creatives and spiritual people who have service-based offerings that they don't want to do the work of finding the clarity because they just want it to flow from them. It's art. And I hear that. And also sometimes our art won't be as of service if we're not listening. And it feels kind of akin to me of wanting unbridled self-expression without knowing how your self-expression impacts those around you. It's like, I of course want everyone to be self-expressed, but if that self-expression is not landing or if it's causing harm or whatever it is, then maybe rethinking, is it self-expression that you want or is it expression that leads to connection? Because those are different things. And I think in business, like you're saying, like, it has to be a conversation where you're actually listening to the customer or the client, or else it's kind of just like blasting people with what you think they need. And they're like, I didn't ask for this. Like, I didn't say I wanted this. And so I just love viewing it as that conversation of listening, tweaking, evolving together, meeting the need, tweaking again. It just feels like you've done so much intentional work. I do know that you did a very successful Kickstarter. And I don't know if we have time to go fully into like every single thing that happened, but I want to know what that experience was like for you. I've never done a Kickstarter and it seems like it did like way over what you expected it to do. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, I feel like that was one of the most vulnerable things that I've done. It was like such a personal development piece. But it really started with listening. Whenever I am feeling like out of alignment or like stuck or just not excited about what's going on in the business, my response is like, okay, how can I reconnect to what people are saying that they need? And so I went back to what I call like the OG feedback from when I was doing this program and I had to do customer discovery with like 25 people. And it was really just like, tell me about your relationship to self-care. Like I wasn't telling them what I thought self-care is. I'm like, what's your relationship to self-care? What's hard? All of these things. And I kept seeing like, I don't have time for self-care. And I just dismissed that because like, I can't make a 25th hour for you. And so I started relating that feedback to the conversations that I was having with my friends, but just seeing on Instagram about everyone being like, I feel like I have to be here, especially as a business owner, but like I'm getting burned out on this. I'm scrolling too much. And so that's when I started to have this idea for something that would take the time that you're spending scrolling and help you reinvest some of that into self-care. And then I did more conversations. I talked to people to see like, what could this look like? For a while, I was like, I'm going to build an app. That's what it's going to be. Or maybe I'm going to write a book about this. And what came forth was that this card deck was the best option. And so from there, I started like sketching it out. This was hard for me. I had to ask people to support and to share. And I really like to just be, I can do it on my own. I'm Capricorn Moon. I'm like, I got this. We could just do it. But I had to be vulnerable and say, this is super scary. If you are willing to share this, if you know someone who thinks that they could use this, please pass it along. And that's what I'm saying. Like there was so much work and thought and intention that went into that. But then it was like a flywheel where it just started flowing because it was what people told me that they need. And I was able to speak to them using words that people had literally spoken to me. And also I needed this, like I was so excited to have it in my life. So yeah, there's so much strategy that goes behind Kickstarter, but mostly it's just about like talking to people. I also, as a side note, will just say that that's when I started to realize that products might be something that we needed to incorporate, because it was almost like there was this pent-up demand that people had been following us on Instagram. They were on our newsletter. They were getting this value every week. And maybe they didn't want to come to a workshop, or they didn't want to come to an inner workout practice, but like they would totally pay money to have this product that they could use every day and know that it was part of the inner workout ecosystem. So that was also a sign for me, like, oh, maybe I'm being selfish by not creating products, and maybe I can trust myself to create products intentionally that will serve people, the people who need them, who do the work to determine that it's actually something that will be useful for their life.
I mean, what I'm hearing as I'm like listening to this entire conversation is the amount of one intentional clarity that you went after getting, the power of community in like really listening to your community and having people around you that can give you feedback, not just feedback from like peers, like we originally talked about, or like mentors, but feedback from the people you're serving, and how that actually generates so much energy towards what you're creating and helps you serve them better. And yeah, is there anything else that you have to say about the community element? Because it sounds like your Kickstarter exploded because of your relationships with people and how you cultivated them.
Yeah, I think it's just about like, it sounds so basic, but like caring about people. My role, I think, is really being willing to say, this has been my journey around self-care. This has been my journey around inner work and mental health. And I hope that not necessarily that you can see yourself in me, but that it sparks something where you're like, oh, maybe that's a question I can consider. Or I don't need to consider that, but it popped up another question that I need to think about. Yeah, I tried, like, that's something I've actually been doing over the past couple of months, is trying to be closer to the community. Going back to the advice and things that you don't need to listen to, I'm finding this balance of, I don't need to be doing every single admin task in the business. And also, there are some things that it's really useful for me to do myself, because as a generator, it gives me something to respond to. Like a couple of weeks ago, I just blocked off a whole Friday and I said, anyone in our private online community or anyone who's on our newsletter, if you want to chat with me for 15 minutes, let's chat. Anything you want to talk about. And I have like all of these ideas now based on the questions that they had, the things that they wanted to talk about. And it was also just so beautiful to see, you're this person who like I only see as an email, maybe sometimes if I'm looking through for metrics or something. And now I get to see that you are this whole person and you have questions and you have dreams and like you have a beautiful smile. And there's something just, yeah, I think I'm going to start doing that quarterly, because for me, that's really generative. And just to take a day to get to know people and find little ways to do that throughout.
That is so brilliant. I know a couple of years ago, I automated my entire business and was able to go down to almost no one-on-one clients through my program, Awaken Her Soul. And I realized quite quickly that it actually didn't work for me to have it to be so removed. I'm also a generator. And so I added back calls and I was like, I actually want to be more involved. It was a great idea to like, you know, free up the time to be working on the vision for the business and to serve more people. But to actually have those relationships is like one of the reasons why I wanted to do the business in the first place. And so I'm loving everything that you're saying. And before we get to closing and rapid fire, we've talked a lot about the business side of your business, but is there anything for people listening who are like, this woman is brilliant, I'm really curious about what she's doing, but would want to get involved in inner workout? What would you want to tell people of where to get started, where to go?
Yeah. The first thing that I would encourage you to do is to take our Take Care assessment. It's just like a, I'm biased, obviously, but I think it's just a really beautiful way to reconnect and start to understand maybe places where you can begin to improve your relationship with self-care. And then from there, outside of it giving you, it's free, by the way, but outside of it giving you three self-care practices that you can do and work on, there is also links to our free mini course. And then that's actually the only way right now that you can get access to our free online community is through taking the self-care assessment or through being on our newsletter. And we're doing some fun things like in the community. We're trying out this new pop-up called Inner Co-working, where you just come on an audio room and get to like do separate self-care things, but together. And that's another piece with community too, is I'm figuring out the layers to it. Like there's definitely an audience that we've built on Instagram and there's some community there too, but I'm much more interested in cultivating with the people who are on the newsletter or the people who are in our online community, because those are the people who are looking to invest in relationships. And that's what I'm looking to do for the long term too.
I love a co-working session. I have incorporated them into all of my programs now where like I'm not even there, where people get to be together and do the work of the program together, because I did that with a mastermind that I was a part of. And I just saw like how much work I got done and how much I enjoyed just even being silent on Zoom, but being like, hey, how'd it go? How was your 25 minutes of work or whatever it was? And taking that idea and applying it to self-care, especially during the pandemic, is just, I'm just in love with your brain right now. I think that the way you're doing your business and the way that you've set this up, both behind the scenes and the front facing, like the offerings have just as much intention as the behind the scenes. And I think that there can be, you know, you can talk to people and you can get a sense that it's a lot of marketing or a lot of behind the scenes, but not a balance of both. And the intention you've put into your business is reflected on both ends. And that feels like my business brain is just so excited. So Taylor, are you ready for rapid fire?
Yes, I am. And also thank you. I'm just sitting here receiving that like, oh my goodness. And that's why it's so good to have like people who can see things where I'm like, I would never have said any of those things about myself, but now I'm sitting there and like someone sees that in me. So I need to sit there and receive that. And now I have the biggest smile on my face. The people listening can't hear it, but trust that I have a huge smile on my face.
Well, I do too. It's so fun having these kinds of conversations because within our work, you know, we're the CEO, but also we run service-based businesses. And so I'm just realizing how important conversations with other people who run businesses and do service-based work around mental health, emotional health. In the front face, you don't realize how much is happening behind the scenes to make it that intentional and that integrous. So anyway, I could just go on and on and on, but I will start rapid fire. Taylor, what is your spiritual background?
So I was raised a non-denominational Christian. Now I identify as spiritual, but not religious.
Amazing. How do you know when you know?
That's such a good question. I feel it. I have a physical feeling. And it's more of a feeling of like, this is not right than a feeling of when something is right. Like if it's right, I just feel normal. But if it's not right, my body is like, no.
Are you an emotional authority or sacral authority?
Sacral.
Sacral. Cool. What identities have you had to let go of to own your fullness today?
I've had to let go of the identity of like needing to be liked. I've had to let go of some identities around even like, I mean, success is a huge one, what it means to be successful. And I've had to let go of some things around timing as well, which is, we could have a whole conversation about how our culture is like 30 under 30 and blah, 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 blah. And feeling like I need to be that person to hit all of those things. But it's like, if I do something amazing and I'm 65, cool.
Yeah. I laugh. I'm over here just thinking about how one of my goals is always to get in 30 under 30 in my city. And that's approaching an end because by the time this comes out, I will be 30 and I have not been featured in the magazine, and how that was such a big deal to me at 25. And now it's like laughable because how much time there is. It's so funny. What are you most enjoying learning right now, Taylor?
Right now, I've been really into chess. And so I've been learning a lot about chess. and I'm learning a lot about myself through chess. My chess teacher, he loves to look at chess from the lens of like emotions. So he'll talk about like, I remember feeling this, or like, I had this moment of pride when this happens. And so I've been trying to approach my chess games like that.
That is so cool. Was this inspired by Queen's Gambit, or did it come before this?
100%. I watched Queen's Gambit and I was like, oh, I used to play chess as a kid, and then just obsessively played chess.
Oh my gosh. And got a teacher also.
Yeah, well, it worked out that one of my really good friends, her partner is a master. I forget what level he is, but he's very gifted at chess, and was just like, yeah, we can do some chess things. And he's great. So yeah.
Amazing. I never learned how to play chess, and I've never played a game of chess, but this show was very inspiring.
It's very fun. I feel like you might enjoy it. Like, you get to be super strategic, but it's also like, at the end of the day, it's just, there's no stakes to win. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very strategic and I love games whenever I get to play them, but that wasn't really a part of like my family ecosystem. You know, like those things are things usually families influence.
Yeah.
And, I'm not going to lie, but my stepdad didn't like that I beat him at all at the games. So we had to play games that he could win at. So the train game is like the most complex game. Are you familiar?
No, I've never heard of that.
You just build a train across the US essentially on this game. It is fun, but it's not as strategic as chess. Anyway, what does grace mean to you, Taylor?
I think of grace as like extending kindness. And I was talking about this in a session too. It's like looking holistically at a person in their context, including yourself. Hmm. I feel like a lot of times I'm like, well, to give the example, like I should be hitting this milestone. And then I'm like, okay, but I made these other decisions and that's leading to this joy in this other part of my life. So it's okay if I'm not hitting this milestone. And then for other people too, I think we look really at like just their action and just a little piece that we can see, and we're not willing to ask about the context around it. And so when we're being gracious, we're all often like swimming in the context.
I've never heard anyone describe grace that in that way. And it feels so much more compassionate and human.
And this is not to say I'm good at it all the time, but on my best days when I'm trying to be gracious, that's how I think about it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. What's your go-to coffee shop order when you're out and about?
I mostly don't drink caffeine. So I will see whatever herbal teas are on the menu. I love a rooibos. I spent a little time in South Africa. And so like a good rooibos tea, is just delicious.
Mm-hmm. The final question is, what do you want?
This is the question that I've been sitting with so much in every part of my life and my business. I think, am I going to start tearing up? I might start tearing up. I think what I want is to like fully acknowledge myself and my capabilities and my achievements, because it's so easy to chase after achievements and check things off. And I realized this earlier this week, I was talking about it. I find these ways to discount, like, oh, this thing was a fluke. This thing doesn't really matter because X, Y, Z, or like someone else did it sooner. And just to be able to be like, oh no, Taylor, you did that, is such a huge undertaking for me. And I want to do that more.
So good. I feel like we've opened up so many conversations that I could chat with you for so much longer than this. And I just thank you for your time and for the work you're doing and the way that you're doing it. That's what I feel really inspired by from this conversation, is you're doing really important work in the world. And you've mentioned like the wellness industry is quite big, but the way you're doing it and the intention behind it is just so clearly setting it apart and meeting people's needs. Is there anything else you would like to say to the audience before we go?
I think just like take a moment to listen to yourself. Like, just don't go straight into your next thing, but just like pause and take a deep breath here and see, I bet there's something that like you could learn from yourself in this moment. And so often we listen to podcasts, and I think this conversation, like, I loved vibing off of each other, but I find myself listening and going on to the next thing. So just like take a moment here, press pause, listen to yourself.
Thank you for tuning in to Everything Belongs. If you loved this episode, please subscribe and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app so that others might find this podcast too. You can find the show notes and find out more about today's guests by going to madisonmorgan.com/podcast. And if you're not following and chatting with me over on Instagram, please go do that now and DM me and let me know your favorite part of this episode. I cannot wait to hear from you. And until next time, remember that curiosity can be a portal to a rich life where everything truly belongs. See you next time.